It's Sunday morning, October 16th.
Chuck's birthday.
Yes, Chuck's birthday.
Charles.
And he's either 63 or 64, one or the other.
Start with that. It's 98.
198.
Anyway, we ask for your blessing this morning.
Yes.
Dear Lord. We ask for your blessing on Charles on his birthday. That it would be a true day of celebration for Charles. Your blessing be on Charles, on Chuck, for all that he does here for Keith and otherwise. Your blessing be upon him now. And Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon our service, that your truth, your love, your light, your very nature would flow from heaven and flow from us and to us.
Thank you.
Lord, that it would just flow. We are your, we are to be your hand extended.
Yeah.
Have that be the case today.
Yes.
That we would be your hand extended.
Yes.
Use us in that way. We ask for that. Yes. We ask that you would use us by having us be your hand extended. Yes. Oh, by your spirit.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Good to see Charlotte. I know you haven't. How are you feeling?
I think it's finally winding down and not coughing or choking as much.
Yeah. You're missed when you're not here. Well, like Barb said.
I miss being here.
Good to see you. Yeah, well, Olivia had that accident.
Oh, yeah.
How is Olivia doing?
Last I heard, she was, Lindsay spent the night with her, and she's, even though she's worried about a concussion, that's the biggest thing. So I don't have any updates after that. So they're just keeping an eye on her, and I think you don't have any other information.
Lindsay called Jean here during the day and was quite concerned. It was, they were keeping her in the hospital because she really took a hit to the head. And then Jean called her back last night and she was on the mend, doing, I don't know, well, but quite a bit better.
It happened at 7 in the morning on her way to work. And, when Grandma Bonnie... Grandma Bonnie called me.
Okay. I was afraid Grandma Bonnie was in the car.
No, Grandma Bonnie called me, and she was a little shaken. So, and I think the car is totaled. So, from what Bonnie said, God is good,
Amen.
And Olivia has such enthusiasm for the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
She was avoiding a cat.
Avoiding a
did
cat.
Did she roll?
Yeah.
Did she hit the cat?
I don't think so.
Lucky cat.
Yeah. So, Lord, have your hand on Olivia this morning, and we just all unite in prayer for her, and just make sure that there's nothing wrong. No brain injuries, that I know that's always a concern, concussions and stuff like that, and we just rebuke the enemy on that, Lord.
Yes, amen.
And you have your covering over her completely, 100% right now. We just, again, just claim it in your name, Lord. You are the great healer, and I know how much you care for all of us. So thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. 2 days ago, I wasn't doing well at all. Anyways, long story short, I am very pleased, of course, why wouldn't I be? But what God is doing, especially, Susan came over. It wasn't Susan. She had this, she walked in, she spoke, she prayed. It could be anywhere any chapter or any Bible verse about what happened with through Susan the other time. It was just very encouraging, you know what I mean? A good Bible verse. And anyways, so on my thing I'm gonna do on Fridays, if you guys are available, I really want to see you there. Not so you can listen to me. I'm gonna need your help. I'm gonna need my brothers to be there. I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna need you so much. And one thing I wanna do at the end is pray. Everybody, you know. So hey, I got this. My elders or appointed whatever. To pray. I don't know how many people are gonna come. 700. I have no idea. And to pray. Okay, hey, let's pray or whatever. But that's not the end of the story. I said, okay, they're going to pray for you when they're not praying for you. Because they're not going to pray because they are these undestructible men in need of nothing. They're going to pray because they're available and because I know they're good at praying. But they need prayer. You know what I mean? If you don't need prayer, put your hands up. You know what I mean? Nobody will put their hands. So I'm going to tell them and say, hey, let's pray. When you're if you're able, maybe you have or whatever you got, it doesn't have that praying thing, it's fine. In no pressure. Pray for these guys, for the guys, for Susan. 5 seconds, anything. Say a small prayer for them, guys. Because anyways, I don't want people to get the impression that these people that I happen to choose are different in a mighty way, that they need nothing. They do need. You know, they're going to pray for you, but not because they don't have needs. They're going to pray for you because I know it, and because I know they're good at praying, and I trust them and love them. I mean, I don't know why I would choose anybody else. But they need prayer. So I'm going to ask you guys if you are available those days to come and pray. And I know you need prayer. I know you need prayer. I mean, anything. Just let they can pray. And the scripture says, I'm so hot. The scripture says, the Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. You know what I mean? So let's do this. And it's not, we're not going to do this because, hey, Pablo had a great idea. No. It's in the scriptures. The scriptures say, hey, pray for one another that you may be healed. Let's all pray. There's no better prayers here. So anyways, what did I start saying?
You just want them.
Anyways, hey, you guys are busy or whatever, it's fine, but I mean, I will be very blessed to have you guys, because you're not just my guys that I know for 25 years. No, you guys are my real brothers. You have in you what I have in me, you know, and I have a love for you, and I believe you have a love for me. And it is, I'm not just saying, I see this need. I have a need, and it's you guys. Anyways, that's it.
I wish you'd picked a different day. Gene and I are going to be out of town here on that Friday.
You can.
Yeah.
But you can choose to stay in. No, but that would just be the first one. And, you know, there could be 5 people. I know Susan would be there because I had a dream and Susan was there. So Susan was there.
They locked it up, huh?
Yeah. So
the 28th.
Susan's checking her calendar.
I gotta see what I got going on. No, I couldn't remember the date. I couldn't remember the date.
She's like, have to wash my hair.
Yeah, 28th.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the World Harvest will be here on the 30th.
Yeah.
So it's like a busy weekend. Yeah.
I will take a little bit on what Pablo said that I think it's important is. We do need to pray for one another, and I think we try really hard to, you know, try, you know, listen to a revelation or an insight, and we test it. We test it against the scriptures, and we test it with one another to make sure that we're not being deceived. I also like the comment, or, you know, it's not like we've been through a training course.
Right.
It's like the training course we've been through has been the Word of God. And it's not like we passed a test or went through some certification or whatever, because we're being certified by the Holy Spirit.
Because man can't.
Right.
Right.
And even where we, me or any particular person, fall short, the Lord steps in and does it, because I got to see that live and up close on Monday, where the Lord was doing it. It was way better than I was going to do. So it's I like the foundation that's being set.
That was definitely the Spirit of the Lord coming in strong and ready for battle.
Yes.
I mean, that Tuesday, I went into a deliverance, and I started screaming because of my stroke thing. My voice can't be as loud. I can scream as much or whatever. I don't know. But this thing came out of my mouth so loud and so whatever that, I mean, I couldn't have possibly fake it, you know, or make it happen. You know, it was something. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you that there's no puffing up on my part at all. I was more than willing to sit home and just pray for Pablo. I mean, and when I read Candy's text going, he needs prayer ASAP, and I'm going, okay, I'm just going to sit here and pray. And I will be the first to confess I don't always follow what God says. And pretty much he just got me up and kind of eased me on over, I was no longer doing anything I wanted to do. I was just being obedient to God. And so there's no, it's not Susan, it's not, and I have to be more willing to do that, because I first of all, I want a letter to fall from heaven that says this is what you should do, and then I want another sign, and then I want another sign. I mean, I'm terrible. I am terrible, and I confess right now, but I can't even tell you what I prayed for, truly. And God's going to use each and every one of us. We just have to yield, and I want to get on the bandwagon. I want to be that. I want to do, you know, but the Lord knows that what he's dealing with, and that's me. And he has to, you know, he gives me that little shove. I have to be a little more willing to be shoved. I'm just saying. And maybe, I don't know if everybody feels that way.
Yes.
Yeah, all of us feel that way. So give in to that little push in the back, because I've had it several times, and I don't always give in. And it's not me. You know, what have we all prayed for? We want to be used of God.
Yes.
I want to be used of God, but I want to know everything beforehand. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't, you know, God's God, and he's got a plan, and if we're willing to follow it, I don't know. There's enough said.
But he gave you the letter, the Word of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
all of us as Christians, we're going to wait upon the Lord for the direction of wait in the way. No, if you're with somebody and somebody's like, I got a backache, or I need $12, if you feel prompted, that's the Lord, and you just do it. And if you do it and you think it's the Lord prompting you, do it anyways, and he'll honor it.
Now, no, not if you're going to invite someone to go to the bar. I mean, you know what I mean? Anything for the Lord, he'll honor, even if it's maybe just your own thing. But he already gave us a letter or a...
I know.
If you read everything, the Bible says pray for one another, sing psalms, the praise of, you know, dwell in the praise of... He gave us all of the things. It's us.
I keep looking at Barb because I'm going, I know, it's so hard. I mean,
it's hard to yield.
Yeah, I even confess.
And you want to be sure it's the Lord because you don't want you.
So
we've got this, but we want to be sure it's the Lord speaking individually to us. The anointing, I guess, is what I'm saying. You want to be sure you're anointed because you don't want it to be you. And that's where we're learning. We're learning that. And the Lord, I know there's a scripture I was looking for, I can't find it, but it's a small, still voice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what Susan's talking about. We're not used to it.
No. And I can think of a million reasons why I shouldn't pray for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
you've been asking to be used.
Yeah.
That's what you've been asking.
I know.
So then each of us have a million reasons we shouldn't be praying for people.
So I'm just claiming it over this whole body and this whole church that people who walk in here can be used of God. Because that's what we want. The anointing will fall upon this church and the people in it. And I keep wanting and praying for that.
I told Pablo that morning, God knew what he had need of. And Tuesday, it was a bat. The words that were coming out of his mouth that morning, he couldn't handle the pain anymore. He was done handling the pain. And I knew he had need of something. All I said was, pray today is a bad day. Not any different than any other text. And I told Pablo, Corky has come to our driveway. Corky has come to our backyard. Corky has come to the street. Corky has come in our bedroom. Corky has come in our living room. And prayed for Pablo 45, 50 times. And Susan hasn't come over. And the text has always been the same. Not a good day. Pray for Pablo. So God already knew what Pablo had need of. Because when Susan came walking in, Corky had been there like 15 minutes maybe or something. And all of a sudden, I heard the door open, and I looked down the entryway, and I saw Susan come in, and her nostrils were flaring. And I thought, oh, they're like probably on the way to the grocery store, and Corky stayed too long, and she's wondering, what is he doing? So she came in, came up the steps, and came right towards Pablo like this. And I thought, oh, I don't know what she's doing. She's not natural going to the grocery store. And then she just started praying. And what really touched me was, years back when you used to come to my house often, you would call me and make sure I was in the living room, make sure I was in the house. Even though there was cars, you made sure. And I told Pablo, I said, you and Turkey could have headed up the backyard and gone to my desk. But Susan came in, and it didn't even matter. And you just yielded, and the Spirit of the Lord was all over you. And that was needed.
And that's what he's going to give each and every one of us.
Yes.
Despite who we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I've prayed for people multiple times, and I've got a headache and a sore leg, and I'm thinking something about, you know, but I got to just pray despite anything about me. Ken's got something to say.
Well, I got some scriptures that actually are fitting.
All right.
Okay.
And they're all in Romans, and they're all in the same chapter. 8:18 I'm going to start with.
18?
Chapter 8, verse 18.
I'm going to start there. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God.
Yes.
And I think that revealing is coming.
Yes.
Yeah, I really do. And then I'm going to drop down to 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, which we've been talking about. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Yes.
Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Yeah, amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's a glorious thing.
Yes. Amen.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren, us being the many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, and this really caught me when I read it, these he also glorified.
Yes.
Now I want to be glorified.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, that's right.
Because that's where Christ is right now. He's a glorified man. Now, on this earth, it might not be the same effect as he has from where he is now. But but it's a glorious thing, for sure, to be glorified by God.
Amen.
So, yeah, that was just, I thought that kind of give you some things to stand on, knowing that God's working with his will for us, you know?
Yeah.
There's the roadmap.
Yeah. You know, Susan was talking about, Lord, get us to that place. As far as I'm concerned, we're past the threshold.
Amen.
We've entered into the room.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not in the very center of it, not in the very center of power, but it's happening.
Amen.
It's happening.
Yes.
And, Lord, cause us to enter in further and further into what it is that you have for us.
Yes.
Oh, that we would be in a place of power, and it, we would be manifestations of your love. Manifestations of your love. People see us, they'd say, look at that love. That must come from God. You know, that's our great heart's desire. That's what our heart's desire has been for decades. And I think the Lord is granting our heart's desire here at this time.
Like I was telling you guys, Monday or Tuesday, we always say, you know what? One day, that's a past talk. We have entered. I'm gonna just repeat what Charlie said. But yes, Charlie, we have entered that place. We are where God is started to work. I'm so excited. I mean, this is silly, you know. Hey, you're gonna have to cheat, you know. I mean, but I don't think it's that silly. I think it's gonna be power. You know, it happens. There'll be a small message to preach. There's, you know what? I'm getting so strong with that. It's weird, but there is just so much something that God is doing. And it's not, you know, one day with God. Oh my God, I saw yesterday. It's now. God is doing. And I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Thanks, Lord.
I'm so excited. I mean, it's, you know, I'm excited. I kept this thing in me. I'm excited.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
It's good to be excited.
I've been getting reminded of Paul when he said, "We didn't come to you with just words of men, but in power with the Spirit." And that's, I've been praying for that too for quite a while now. But you know, we always would have to kind of apologize because we'd say, "Oh, we don't want to see signs and wonders just because we're not." You know what? I want to see power. And if it's signs and wonders, great. That's not the end, but that's what gets people's attention, or whatever. And it does faith work in people, you know. So It's not like, but it's like, you almost need, you need something that backs things up a little bit. And it seemed like God did that all the time with all the ones before us, you know, Peter and Paul and all of them. They did works of whatever, healings, deliverances, you know, all types of things. Salvation, bringing countless people to the Lord at one time or whatever. It doesn't have to be a countless number, but those things are, that's part of what power is. And it's not a bad thing as long as you don't let it go to your head and don't make it be the focus of everything. See, that's the thing. All those signs, miracles, power is a byproduct of the Word of God, of truth. That's a byproduct. It's an enhancer of what's really there, you know. And that truth thing has become so important to me. I just, knowing that you have the truth of God, who is the controller of the universes or whatever, that's amazing. And it can put you at ease because, you know, first, the biggest truth was one of them is, I kept reading in the Old Testament, and it was showing how God was affecting even how men thought and their deeds, and it was affecting wars, and it was affecting all kinds of things. And I just looked and I said, you know what? God is in control of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's a big revelation when you realize that, and you know it doesn't have to be up to us. You know, I mean, human us. So, that's just one little thing about, you know, that you learn about God if you're in the Scriptures. And there's countless other things that He's just so long-suffering, He's so gracious, He's so loving, He's so understanding. You know, it's a good thing to
patience.
Know the Lord.
You know,
patience.
You know, 95% of the church does not expect God to be operating in any way that you can see or whatever. You know, not expecting a God to demonstrate manifest power. That's just what the church is in our day. And so, we don't want signs and wonders. But on the other hand, boy, we sure do.
Yeah.
We sure do.
Right.
We want to be able to demonstrate that what God is a God that manifests power in our day-to-day life. Not this kind of thing that is aloof and off in heaven. No, no, no. He is in there doing stuff. And people need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see things that are impossible to occur,
yeah.
Have it occur because we have a God of the impossible. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. That's what we need to demonstrate. I don't think we have to worry too much about, hey, you're focusing too much on the signs and wonders, you know. I suppose that we could do that. Heaven forbid that should happen. But we do need to demonstrate that we have a God of power who exercises that power through men. That's what we need.
Right. When Jesus says, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And this is what we should be preaching. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe.
Amen.
In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, and by the way, I want to put in here, if they are confronted by any pestilence or virus, they will not be harmed.
Yes. Amen.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yes.
That's if you believe.
Yes.
So the church, and we have for, you know, I mean, we did in the past more months, but we are believing this now. And that's what the church needs to hear. Oh, no, that's not for today. Yes. There's no timetable in here when Jesus speaks. That was for every day from when he spoke it, you know? And so there's a lot of things that people write off in the Bible that is supposedly not for today. You know what?
That's not what their belief is.
No.
It's not for them.
Yeah, that's human thinking because you don't have the spirit enough to see it can be, so you've got to make up an excuse because you can't see it, you know?
Right.
Or you don't
feel
it, or you don't have the faith for it. Just say you don't have the faith for it. But no, the church can never admit that they may not be, that they could be lacking, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one thing about this church and whatever. We know we're lacking, you know? We're not afraid to admit it. And it's a good thing. And people, you know what? When people see that, it draws them. Because they don't have some holy rollers wanting to preach over them or some, you know, greater than thou or holier than thou feeling.
Right.
Oh, I can identify with them.
Yep.
You know? And it's true. I mean, I wish I could say I still don't sin. I can't. And man, I you know, I was, here's an admission, I was driving the other day and I had Romans on. And I actually turned it on after a while. I just said, I'm ready for this today. You know, and it's going over the whole sin and this and that, and you know, from about chapter 5 through chapter 7. But then I sat and read it again this morning. And if you can read it in the right with the right spirit, you can actually have hope. Because you see that you're a failure and that you do sin, but that there's an answer for it, you know? And I have to keep seeing how Paul just so, he said, my flesh is sin. But I am not, and I can have a mind of the flesh or a mind of the spirit. If you have God in you, he says, and which we do, his spirit is in you, then you have the mind of the spirit. And you should not be affected, or, you know, you have control, or, I don't know, dominion over the flesh of sin, which I don't always feel some days, because, you know. But the fact is, and if you see that there's a difference, you're already one step in the good direction, you know. That you realize that, yes, my flesh wants to sin. And a lot of times it does. But my spirit doesn't want to sin and keeps not wanting to sin, and so I keep asking for forgiveness when I do, because I know that I don't want to be there. I don't want to stay there, you know. And that's where you see that. And so if you're in Christ, therefore there is no condemnation.
Amen.
You know, and you got to keep telling yourself that, because the devil just, I tell you, he's really going to just barrage you with this other side, you know, that you're a failure, and how can you, when you, you know, this and all that. But, and I know how many times we say, God doesn't see that. Well, I know. Maybe God doesn't, but, you know, and he doesn't, in a sense. So I need to keep reading that in Romans, because it's just where I'm at, you know. I got to have the hope that, yeah, even though there's sin, I have a stronger side of the spirit that wants to go on, you know. So, it's, you read that and you think, Paul, when were you saying this? You're saying it to the Romans? You've already been, had this whole experience with God and everything. How can you say these things about yourself? You know? And he knew, you know. It's a tough one to read, because it says that the law is holy, but the law also shows you that you're a sinner, you know. So I guess that's why the law is holy. But it also, the law can be death, because if you try to keep it, you'll die, because you can't, you know. You need to go to the other side, which is forgiveness, and know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid the price. And have faith. Faith overtakes law, you know, for sure. But anyway, enough.
I have thought about that book of Romans. It's odd, you know. You start reading verses or chapters 4, 5, and 6, and oh, Paul is really coming down hard on sin and unrighteousness, and really, he's really rigid in his expression that we need to get sin out of our lives. And I have thought that that was what he intended to convey. And then the Spirit came on him, and he realized by chapter 7, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I set up this standard here in chapters 4, 5, and 6, except they didn't have chapters. But anyway, so he confesses, hey, all this very strict kind of stuff I was saying here before, I am not measuring up. And it's almost, you know, there's kind of a cry of despair there at the end. And then he realizes, you know, by the Spirit, hey, thank God for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And there is then that victorious proclamation there in chapter 8, in which, no, it's not me. I am, you know, but nonetheless, there are glorious things that are going to happen purely on account of Christ. Not because I'm behaving so well. I'm not behaving so well. It's the power and the goodness of the Lord that is going to be operating, you know. So.
In spite of my sin, I can be saved.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give you a
sin pass.
Right. But the Bible does say, he who says that he doesn't sin is a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, my silly understanding says that we are always going to be sinners. But Jesus, no, this guy we talked about with him, he's saving us, not from angry creatures, from mad dogs on hungry wolves. He's saving us from our sins.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
From our sins. Now, so you can live and you can willingly sin. You can say, I sin. I'm just going to keep sinning, doing my stuff. It doesn't have to be murder. It can be any sin. You can live like that all your life, die like that, thinking, you know, I'll keep sinning, whatever. You know, and maybe Jesus will grab you, you repent, but maybe not. You know, I hate the maybes, you know, because the maybes are also maybe not. But if you're not sad, if you're angry at your sin, if you're not willing to sin in, there's a difference. You know, there's a difference. And maybe that's not the right way to put it, but the right way to put it is that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And don't sin. You know, that's my advice. But that's just my advice. I know, because the Bible says, he who says he doesn't sin is lying to himself. So you're always a sinner. But man, there's a gigantic difference between sinning when you know Christ and sinning when you heard of him or know he's somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Right.
So,
you know, the part I was reading too, I think it is in Romans. I went over it again about, it says, and when you are baptized into Jesus Christ, you die with him,
right,
and are buried, but you are also resurrected,
mm-hmm,
in new life with him. And so that's one step, and I don't know if that's, I mean, you know, being born again, I love that because it's saying you're being born again from above,
right,
which is the same way Christ was born. He was born from above.
Amen. So he was.
Through a woman, but born from above. So it's almost saying when you die in Christ like that and you're born again, you're getting the same new beginning as what Christ had from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the hard part is when it says, so if you have the Spirit of God in you, don't sin. Woo! You know, it's like, what's happening then? I know I have the Spirit of God in me, and I love it, you know? But why am I still doing this, you know, or giving in? It's like, so I started thinking, maybe I really have to die again, you know? Maybe I kind of, I don't know.
The Word says we die daily.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, I think you do have to go back and maybe look at your commitment to dying again, you know, because, you know, we go through phases. I mean, I don't know how many have gone through where you're full of the Spirit and everything's happening, and then all of a sudden you have some dry years, and then you get the Spirit again, and then you get dry, you know, there is cycles that go on. And so the greatest thing, though, and this is why we should all have hope. The last thing that's come is the answer. And that's the truth of the Word of God. There's nothing greater, better than the truth and the Word of God. And that's, and you know, we had glimpses of it. I did, and we don't have it all yet now. But knowing that, and knowing that I've been in that, says, if he's brought us all this way to give us this, he can't be giving up on us, you know? So that's the hope, that where he's bringing us is where he's going to keep taking us, and that we have to have faith that that's going to happen, which got brought up, you know, by Pablo. You know, faith means a lot, because it's hoping for something you can't see. And it's, some of faith is having not knowing you can see what's going to happen in the future either. It's not just tangible things.
Yeah.
It's like the future.
Right.
So you have to have faith that God's going to do this, you know. And probably don't say maybe tomorrow. Just say God's going to do this today.
Right.
And stand on it, you know. But, yeah, it's a, you know, it's easy. Yeah, some parts of Christianity are easy. Other parts are not easy. They're not easy. You know? And that's an illusion that the church gives a lot nowadays as well. If you come and spend Sunday with us and everything and be a good person, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you're not. But, you know, I mean, it says trials, tribulations, suffering. Paul says glory in it. Or maybe Peter said that too, I think. You know, because if you get through, especially if you accept them and then you get through them, you can't help but praise the Lord.
Right.
And give thanks unto the Lord.
Right.
Because he got you through it.
Right.
Some people don't get through that. A lot of people don't get through that. So that's the thing. It doesn't mean you won't get affected by things of this world, but God will get you through it, you know, if you believe on him. And, never mind, I'm not going to say more.
The whole Bible is talked about that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like Peter and Paul and everybody in the Old Testament and everything, like, have faith, trust the Lord, and he'll bring you. You know, I was telling Pablo, I said, the other day we were talking about something, and I told him, I said, you know, show me in the Bible any account. Now, maybe I missed something, but show me any account in the Bible where somebody had such an incredible, amazing, carefree, burden-free, suffering-free life, and it was so amazing that they are talked about in there, and everything was wonderful, and nothing bad happened, and it was incredible, and you want to be like that. Am I wrong? Is there anybody in there?
No.
There's one, Adam and Eve, and they really screwed it up.
The tax collectors, the same time, pretty good life.
Well, I was thinking of like Enoch. Like, yeah. We don't know how he lived.
Yeah,
right.
But
he lived under God.
The whole Bible is like,
yeah.
Start serving the Lord, and then you're going to physically, humanly, probably suffer a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But praise, sing, thank, praise, and thank.
Look at David.
Non-stop.
David was up and down and up and down. He had armies coming against him. He was starving. He'd been all kinds of stuff. But he was always having faith that God was going to get him through it.
Yeah.
Incredible faith.
Yeah.
All them people. I mean, Abraham. And I mean,
that's what I mean. The whole Bible.
Yeah.
There's nothing
Joel.
In there that's like, whoop, I'm going to serve the Lord and look at how well this is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be when we go from this world to the next world.
And you know who kind of got affected by that a little? Was Solomon. He kind of had it made. He had everything. He had wisdom beyond anybody around him, knowledge. And he had all kinds of wealth. And of course, he had too many women and all that. But in the end, he was like, it's all vain. You know?
It's not a real good ending to that
no,
story.
No, it isn't the best ending to Solomon, even though as great as he was. Because kind of in the end, he was like, oh, man, this all that wasn't worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He should have just been loyal to one woman. Yeah, and you would have been just fine.
That's David, too. Although
okay.
David ends up okay. I mean, well, that just in that alone tells you how forgiving and long-suffering God is. You know, he can forgive anybody for anything if they're sincere.
Come and ask. You know,
yeah.
If someone comes to you and asks, forgive them.
Now, you may have to suffer the consequences of the world around you for what you did, but you can be free with God, you know.
I'd rather suffer the consequences of the world around me here because it says they'll be answered for here.
You know what I mean?
There.
Like a guy, if you committed murder and then in prison you realize and you came to the Lord, well, you're probably still going to have to serve your sentence, but you're free.
Right.
Because, you know, you're free of that sin.
Right.
I was telling Corky yesterday, I think it was. I see Corky so much. I don't know if it's yesterday or the day before or tomorrow. But I was telling him today, the last few months, I am the richest I ever been. You couldn't give, if you start giving me stuff, I would have to turn it away, turn it down. I am so rich. I am so full of everything I need. I'm 100% serious. Before my stroke, I didn't consider myself. You know what? You may think you're doing good, but ask God how you're doing. Who? Different answer.
Yeah, you get really serious.
Yeah. And before my stroke, I thought of myself as doing being good in need of nothing. You know what? And the scripture says, I was naked. But what else is there? I was wretched or whatever.
Yeah.
It was horrible, horrible. But again, there's something else I want to say about. I am so rich. I am so full of everything I could possibly want. I don't want nobody to give me stuff. I don't want cars or houses or and nothing that money can buy. It's not going to do it for me. I want this to keep going because I understand it's a different richness. It's not what I have in the bank. That's it. Anyways, there's an unwritten scripture, maybe someplace, but it's an unwritten scripture, but it's for us to know, and it's written in different ways. And even though it's very simple, very easy to understand, and we all know it, I don't think we take advantage of it. And it's this, is that whatever is it that we need to do, we are not required to do it by ourselves. with God. Like Kevin was saying, I have to do all this sin stuff you're talking about. So I have to do it, I have to do this. Enough, I. We. God and I. We have God and His Son. And Jesus says, I'm leaving shortly. I'm not going to leave you. I will be with you always. Always. But the Holy Spirit, whatever, you know what? If He does it, I don't care. He just does it. I will be with you always. So, So, you have this issue with sin or whatever. Okay, Jim, go fix it. Go work on it. With God.
Yeah, with God.
You have this other issue with somebody else. You have whatever. You're not by yourself. With God. With God. With God.
Preach to yourself,
read up.
Yes.
There's only one place that says, with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when I pray about what I got going on, you know what? This is my name. It's Mr. Unbelief. At the same time, it's Mr. Belief. It's weird. But, with, and God says, in so many places in the Bible, I couldn't count them, I'm not even going to try. He says, God will heal you of all your diseases. You know why He doesn't? Because we are dirty with unbelief. Dirty. Just gross dirty, unbelief.
Mm.
And I thought the other day, you know what? Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah, say that.
And,
yep.
And His will, the whole Bible is His will. Outside of the Bible is somebody else's will, the devil's ideas. In the Bible, His will. Nowhere it says that you won't be healed. Nowhere. No one place. So it's much better to take His Lord. Your will, but you know, it's not about my healing, it's about everything that we're in need of. We want to deceive ourselves. Oh man, yeah, I gotta do this, and I gotta do this, and I gotta work on this, and I have to work on that. And I. Enough of I. We are sons of the Creator of everything that is in front of your eyes, everything that you see, and everything that you don't see. We are His sons and daughters. He loves us. Whatever it is that you're in need of, guys, it's so much easier to do it with God. So much easier. So much easier. With God. With God. With God. Okay, He's got this thing He needs to work on. Yeah, if He doesn't have to work on it, with God. And with God is with God. Whatever we need is with God. That's the unwritten scripture. You know, it's there, but we don't put it to work. We don't use it for some reason. As Christians, we forget it and we give ourselves this burden of doing things. And you know what? Jesus says, my burden is light and it's easy. You know what I mean? And we skip it, you know. And it's like,
you know, I've prayed, Lord, I know I can't do this or beat this. I need you. And there'll be a days when I see it trying to come in, and I'll say, Lord, give me strength, you know. But the crazy part is then the next day, you don't do that again. You know? But that's the battle you gotta keep. That is the one thing where you have to be kind of involved in the fact that, yeah, if you do it with God, it's anything's possible. But not if you don't ask to do it with God.
Right.
You know?
So it's having the strength to ask every time. Mm-hmm. And that's, well, that's the battle, you know. So, but it's winnable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because sooner or later, God's going to, I know, I just know how he is or has been for me. Is all of a sudden, he'll do this little thing that just affects you. And then it's like, yeah, whatever you want, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things that, of course, I've been praying for is that the love of God to, you know, because when that comes, it's like nothing else is very important.
That's right.
When you have it, you know.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
That, the Spirit, which is all involved in that. If the Spirit, if God gives you a dose of the Spirit, you're ready to do anything. You know, so it's kind of like, well, how come you don't just have it stay that way? Well, I think he will have it stay that way. That's what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, that is what's coming. That's what the last days are going to be about.
Yes.
Is his body, his body is going to be full of the Spirit, full of love, and then nothing can stand, you know.
Amen. Amen. There's a scripture that says that we are co-workers together with God.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that too.
Yeah.
You know, just
Christ was working with them.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other one.
That's right. Working with them.
I'm thinking it would be nice if I'm going to put Susan in charge of meals. You know, when somebody has a baby or has a thing and you do sign up sheets for meals. This is what I think that I'm going to do. I'm going to leave my husband here in this building until all of his messages that he preaches to others every day, all day long to others. He's going to preach to himself, but I think I'm going to leave him here in this building and continue preaching, because the only time that he's not uncomfortable is when he's talking about God's word. So I'm going to leave him here. Susan, you can arrange meals.
Okay.
We'll bring him meals. I'm going to make him sit in this building until every single word that he says comes true also for him.
Yes.
Because he lives many days miserable unless he's giving out. So I have to just, I think I just need to stand him behind that pulpit and let him preach. I don't know what else to do.
I'm going to have to correct you. You're just going to have to let God do it. I'm sorry.
I know. God's already told me, Ken. But then there's I got to tell him that too.
Mm-hmm. Amen and amen.
And I know it's got to be so hard.